Hey guys, welcome into another edition of the Daily Bills Wire podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Uhas, and Nick Wotan joining me, managing editor. Hey Nick, how's it going? We're into a week of our daily podcast.
Jeremy, that's right, we are. I'm sitting here next to Roscoe. We got a nice walk-in, my beagle here. And
I was going to say, you need to add context, because I don't think people know who Roscoe is.
Yeah, Roscoe can't open his eyes right now. He walked about 4 or 5 blocks with those small little beagle legs, so he's had a great day, and now he's going to listen to us record another Bills Wire Daily podcast to cap it off. So, great day in Roscoe's world means a great day for me, right?
That's right, that's right. I have a quick story about dogs. This week, it's been raining. I live down here in Atlanta, Georgia, these days, and there was a dog just running down the street all by itself in the rain, and I didn't know what to do. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you try to help out and be a good Samaritan, so I tried to pull over, get out of the car. It's pouring. I'm drenched. People think it's my dog, probably. Sure. I'm running down the street to try to grab it, but it looked like a pit mix, and she just, like, hauled down the street, didn't want anything to do with me. I hope she was all right. I did try, but I don't know if you've ever seen that or seen like a stray animal and you try to go after it or try to call it and it doesn't come to you. It's pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah, I actually, one time I did find a dog on my street and I knew what house it belonged to. This was maybe I was trying to be a good kid, so this might have been like middle school time for me. And I remember I brought it back to the house, and the people were so, like, our dog was fine. Like, they just let the dog run around the neighborhood, and it had no care in the world. And they're like, okay, thanks for bringing the dog back. And then, like, within a day or two, I saw the dog run around the neighborhood again and left him. So, but if I saw a dog running around Elmwood Avenue here, as long as Roscoe wasn't around, I'd probably run and try to grab him. But Roscoe gets angry when he sees other dogs, so nothing quite gets Roscoe worked up like a fresh any dog. I mean, another dog will definitely eat him, and he still gets barking away at him. Doesn't know his own. He's gonna come back to bite you one day, Roscoe. But
yeah, you know, does he like to go to the dog park at least?
He's a big fan of the dog park. Yeah, his problem is that he likes to. He's got to be like a beagle or like a Jack Russell or something mixed, because he's like a pretty like hyperactive beagle. He's chill now. He's 5 or 6 years old when he's a puppy. He likes to like wrestle with other dogs. So other dogs, like, if they're not like used to other dogs wrestling, you don't know how they're going to react. So that's why I'm always pulling them away, because I don't want some like big lab to be like, hey, little guy.
Does he try to be alpha, or is he pretty submissive
when
he's wrestling?
Yeah, he's pretty submissive. He doesn't really try to, you know, get at anyone too bad. He just likes to play, you know. He's a good pup, but, you know, I guess I'm more worried how other guys are going to react to him.
Sure.
Makes
sense.
Yeah, you know, I'm showing my soft side here for Roscoe. It's not quite the rough and tough bachelor side that I have, I should have, but, you know.
Wanted to get you on today to talk about the wide receiver position in general, because, you know, after quarterback, I think that's probably the position where most fans are concerned. Maybe they're tied with the offensive line on this roster. And with that, too, news came out that Brandon LaFell was released from Cincinnati, and a lot of people are making those connections with him being in Carolina in the past and ties to Bean, and also with New England and Brian Daboll. Not any reports yet of where he'd want to play, but his agent asked for his release. And I thought it was funny today, Nick, that you posted your tweet earlier that says football players who plays any position on any NFL team is released. You kind of quoted that, and then Bills fans with this gif of, you know, the bird here going, mine. I thought that was really funny because it's so true. As soon as someone comes available, everyone's like, we want him. I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, what is that from? Isn't that from, I think it's from Finding Nemo, maybe?
Yes. I believe so.
Nemo, and they just all go, mine, because every time at this time of the year when a guy gets released, Bills fans, they don't care what position he plays, they need whoever it is.
Yeah, and especially at the wide receiver position, I feel like, you know, the Bills are just, whenever any wide receiver comes available, whether that was, you know, Decker was signed. Looks like he's going to sign with the Pats after Jordan Matthews went down. I'm surprised the Bills weren't like, let's bring Jordan Matthews back when he's healthy. The fan base just seems that desperate to get someone with a name in here that's not, you know, an undrafted free agent rookie or guys that are, you know, coming off injury or just question marks in terms of can they step up. And I guess that's understandable to a certain degree, but some guys are stepping up. What do you just think about maybe the LaFell possibility? Is that something the Bills should look into?
Yeah, I think the one question mark that I have about him is we can look at his numbers. He's we were talking about this off air, Jeremy. 6'3", got some size. I believe you remember him as a shorter guy. I did as well. I thought he was around 6 foot. You were thinking Jeremy Curley size. I think is the way you put it. But
I think it's just because I saw him in the slot a lot, or I just remember him being in the working in the slot.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Then he's 2'10", so he has some good size. But he also ran a 4.54 40 time. So he's got some speed for his size. But my biggest question with him is that what we really can't answer here, but Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, and Brian Dable would know better, is if he can contribute on special teams or not. You know, because it looks like they're depth wide receivers as Sean McDermott pretty much said. I believe it would have been today's Thursday, so McDermott spoke on Wednesday. So McDermott said that he's looking for those guys to contribute on special teams, whether it's as a returner, whether it's as a gunner, whether it's as whatever. You know, you got to be able to do more than one thing, and I'm not sure what LaFell does there, but he obviously has some familiarity with these guys. So it is, although, as you mentioned, Jeremy, you know, tongue-in-cheek, I kind of said that everyone who comes in the market, mm-hmm. those fans want to scoop up. But this is a pretty easy connection, especially between the Carolina connection. I think LaFell is more known for his time there than he is with New England. But regardless, there's several connections there. So at this point, if you can get him on something reasonable, but I think the special teams question is my biggest question. Can he contribute there?
Yeah, I think so, too. I think there's two factors for me with him. One is his age. He's 31. He had a down year last year. Do the Bills want to go with someone younger, pay a little bit less, maybe, like you said, can contribute on special teams also? And secondly, for me, I think it comes down to Zay Jones possibly here. If he's not ready in time or he's struggling and they need to, you know, put him on IR, unfortunately, or something more comes out of Zay Jones' health, then I think you might need to get another starter, capable player like LaFell, you know, because Zay, I think the team was banking on him playing this year, and if he's not in, then you're down to Kelvin Benjamin, Jeremy Curley as your two guys that you can probably count on, but then you're talking Andre Holmes, Streeter, Riley, Malachi Dupree. So I think Zay Jones might, and his kind of health status might push the Bills maybe to sign him or another injury, but right now I think his age would deter me.
Yeah, and I think worth noting too is, you know, LaFell, he did have a little bit of a drop off with the Bengals. Just had it here. He finished last season 52 receptions for 548 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, not gonna lie, it's better than Zay Jones, but the bar's not exactly high there. His most productive season was in 2014, 74 grabs, 953 yards, 7 touchdowns. That's really weird that he had his best season when he had Tom Brady throwing him the ball. But pretty much it came down to a numbers game, I believe, with the Bengals. I mean, you have the first-round pick from last year, I know, John Ross, and then everybody's favorite hero in Tyler Boyd. I believe he's a second- or third-year player. Just some younger guys there, and of course they have A.J. Green, so wasn't really just really a role for LaFell and Cincy. But I think, you know, depending on his age, I mean, they're obviously not afraid to bring in older guys. They brought in Anquan Boldin last year, so I don't think the age is going to deter the Bills from it, just depending on if they feel that he fits in the system and can he contribute elsewhere. I think that's going to be the biggest thing. Can he contribute somewhere else on the special team side?
All right, moving on from him and going to the guys on the roster right now, are you super concerned if you're a fan about Zay Jones, or it's still too early? Maybe having played the first preseason game, he'll be okay.
Will he be okay? I don't know, Jeremy. I mean, the good kid, by all accounts, by my own accounts, great guy. But that was a putrid rookie season. Hopefully, I wouldn't wish injury on anyone, but hopefully the injuries hampered him last year and he comes back just completely healthy. and can show why he was a second-round pick, because to this point he hasn't proven he was worthy of a second-round pick. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And he showed he can't stay healthy, and he showed he can't really stay out of the headlines in his very brief NFL career. So he's got a lot of people, I think, in the building and outside the building in Orchard Park to prove wrong.
Yeah. Last year, Kelvin Benjamin comes in after the trade, comes in with the team. Plays hurt a lot of the year, especially the second half of the year. Now that he's healthy, he had a really good practice this week, coming out making some great catches, seeing some highlight reel stuff in practice, 11-on-11s, team sessions. What do you expect from him this year? It looks like he's in shape. He's in a contract year. He, I think, was talked about not by a lot of people, I think, view him as a number two and not a number one, but do you think he can step up this year and fill that number one spot?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're going to see, you see in the past sometimes you feel like the Bills don't use a big receiver in the right way. He's got a big body, use it to his advantage, but they really did do that last year. One of the things that Rick Dennison did do right at times, or at least usually when Nathan Peterman was in the lineup, was he gave Benjamin a chance, and that was it. You just give him a chance. I mean, you saw in the snow game, you gave him a couple chances down the right sideline. He gets a big pickup, gets a touchdown. I think if you give KB a chance, he'll get the ball. But unfortunately, he's the obvious double-team target right now. It's either stack the box against Shady or double-team, or really, that's it. Stack the box and double-team Kelvin Benjamin, and you should be good to go against the Bills' offense, right?
Yeah, and then maybe that's where Charles Clay would come in or somebody else. Those are the two guys you got to key if you're an opposing defense. I agree. Just quick story. My first ever SEC football game when I moved south was Florida State several years ago when Benjamin was still in college. And we were at the Swamp in Gainesville, and Benjamin went off with two touchdowns from Jameis, and the guy just looked like a monster. I mean, he is a monster even in the league, but when he was in college, I just knew that this guy was going to be really good. I was really excited when the Bills got him because they haven't had a receiver this physically dominant in a long time. So with him being healthy, I think he can prove a lot of people wrong. And he's at the age, several years in the league now as a veteran, he could probably use a great campaign to catapult him into a long-term deal. And I think the Bills, especially someone like Josh Allen or even McCarron, who's going to need help, I think he's the perfect complement for any of these quarterbacks.
Oh, definitely. I'm concerned past that. We really to see some preseason games here, but I'm almost nervous that, not to jump ahead, Jeremy, on us, but the name I've been hearing the last few days from training camp is Cam Phillips. And good for Cam Phillips, but Cam Phillips is a 6-foot undrafted free agent from Virginia Tech, and if he's the one that's standing out, I mean, what does that say about the rest of the guys? It's nothing against Cam Phillips. Hopefully he's great and he's in the Hall of Famer for the Buffalo Bills. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? But the chances of that, compared to the chances that maybe just the other receivers aren't that good, so he's standing out, that's kind of what I'm thinking is going on.
Yeah, hopefully he's maybe just the one being targeted and being gifted those opportunities to make those plays in practice. But I do think it probably does speak volumes to the rest of the cast there. You see some highlights. Austin Prohl made a good toe tap in the back of the end zone catch that the Bills tweeted out. Riley's making plays. Curley seems to be doing okay. But overall, it's not a group that really scares you at all. After Benjamin, after Curley's veteran presence there, as a safe slot receiver, there's not much there in terms of threat to scare anybody. And unless you have someone like Rod Streeter or someone like that who can use his speed. We saw that with Marquise Goodwin when he was here with the Bills, someone to kind of take the top off the end of the defense. But no one really here has established themselves, and that's scary.
Yeah, and in terms of taking the top off, you know, Dable, you know, did mention there are a bunch of different ways to do it. You don't just need straight line speed, which is true. But it just seems like there is a comforting aspect to having a guy, you know, not really anyone's going to be Marquise Goodwin. He's got world-class speed and world-class track athleticism. Not everyone has that, but, you know, to have a guy take off the top, at least to have a guy that's there, when they see Marquise Goodwin on the field, you know, Bills fans will kind of joke around and go, oh, what's he going to do, run straight? Well, yeah, he's going to run straight, and he's going to run a hell of a lot faster than anyone else. So when he's out in the field, that safety is going to go, okay, let me keep one eye over there for a second. And as we know in football, how long's a play? A couple seconds, right? So those split seconds when they're keeping an eye on Marquise Goodwin, that's when they take their eye off Calvin Benjamin. That's when they take their eye off Zane Jones. That's when they take their eye off Shady when they're running up the middle. When, you know, those are little caveats that, you know, help your offense just make you a little bit better. So someone, I think, unless they have someone who has that straight line speed, they really got to show it. Man, can we get Marquise back? Marquise back. I really liked him too. He's a really humble guy. I always thought he actually had had one of those videos like Tre'Davious White had that he Tre'Davious White recently bought his mom a house, and Marquise did that this offseason too. I don't know if you saw that, Jeremy, but that was a real nice thing. But it came as no surprise. I mean, him and Trey are just two really humble guys. But anyways, that's a little off topic here. But we need someone with Marquise's. I'll take a guy that's humble like Marquise, but I need someone with his speed, man.
Yeah, and he went through a lot of stuff with him and his wife, and as well in the offseason, losing their child. So good for him. Glad he's found his role on that 49ers team, and you got Garoppolo throwing to him. So it's always good to see Bills go on and do well. Robert Woods, same thing, out in L.A., doing good things for the Rams and that offense. So, want to wrap this session up by letting everybody know that some exciting news. Bills Wire will be down in Chattanooga covering the Terrell Owens induction to his Hall of Fame speech. So that will be really neat. I'll be down there. So make sure I'll be probably tweeting out photos and writing story about that. Try to ask him about things related to his time with the Buffalo Bills. So that'll be really cool. So make sure everyone checks that out. And that pretty much wraps up our first week. Next week, we have a lot of guests lined up. This was the first week launching the daily podcast. And I want to thank Nick for kind of sticking in here with me and joining me for the majority of those sessions, as we're really excited about pumping this out. And as the preseason games get going, we'll be talking a lot more about strategy and the analysis of games and not just practices anymore.
Yeah, I know that'll be fun, Jeremy, but I got to ask you, do you still have a box of TOs?
I don't. I have a box of Flutie Flakes.
I have both, and I also have some Wheaties box of the 1992 or 3 Buffalo Bills. It's quite legendary, but definitely. That's cool. Definitely still got my box of TOs. I remember we definitely got two boxes because your boy needed some breakfast, so he did eat one box of TOs, but there is an unopened box of TOs. I would love to hear. You always love hearing about T.O. and Buffalo. I remember that there was some interview with him one time where, it was said to be post his career, and somebody, whoever the broadcaster was, asked, like, oh, so when you go in the Hall of Fame, T.O., are you going to go in, you know? He might have been with the Bengals, even, so they might have mentioned the Bengals or something, because that's the last team he played for. So are you going to go with the 49ers, the Eagles, the Cowboys, even the Bengals? And T.O., I think, goes, huh, because he didn't mention the Bills. He goes, I think I'm going to go in with the Buffalo Bills or something, like, just to be like, you know, your typical T.O. kind of answer, because the guy didn't say the Bills. So T.O. said the Bills. He's always, you got to find out, man. He's got to have that key to the city somewhere.
And I'll try to ask him as much as I can and definitely reflect on his time as a Bill. I'm interested to see, now that he's going to the Hall of Fame, what 2009 here was like for him.
Definitely a tough days for him. I remember he had a very consecutive game streak with a catch. I remember that came to an end during his time in Buffalo. He had a catchless game, which is probably the biggest damper, because we know T.O. is a little bit about himself. But He's a polarizing figure even in Bills lore because the Bills were a little bit of a punchline in 2009, and they ended up Theo to sign on, so they, you know, got some fannies in the seat with that probably to make people think they're serious. But I always liked Theo. I mean, he always told it like it was, and he was very much about himself, doing the sit-ups in his front yard and everything like that. But obviously, my take would be that, I mean, it's a disgrace he had to wait so long to get to the Hall of Fame. I mean, his numbers are unbelievable. We're talking about Cam Phillips, undrafted free agent, hopefully he's in the friggin' Hall of Fame for the Buffalo Bills. Damn, T.O. is, what, the top three wide receivers ever. He had to wait more than 1 year to get in there. I mean, that's, you know, we know why, but that was a little bit of embarrassment. And not that I support T.O.'s decision to not go to the induction ceremony. It's obviously benefiting Bill's wire because you're going to go out there, Jeremy, but I totally understand why he's doing it.
I mean, he had 55 receptions as a Bill, 829 yards. I think there were some rumblings that he wants to come back and play, so maybe the Bills will sign him.
Well, yeah, he wants to go to the CFL, and he did run. He had that video where he ran like a 4.5 40, and he's how old?
Right. Yeah, he still 40, looks like he can play.
He's 6'3 and 44 years old, and he ran like a 4.5 40. Like, the hell out of here. I'm 27, and I'll, you know, run like a 10.40. Oh, brother.
Yeah, he's a physical specimen, always has been, always took really good care of his body, I should say, and seems like he's continued that. So, we'll be up there.
Yeah, my beer belly. My beer belly is a little bit of a different physical specimen.
Oh, maybe you and Roscoe can go on for more runs.
Yeah.
Take care of that.
He's knocked out. We'll start there tomorrow, Jeremy.
Perfect, perfect. Well, like I said, for everyone listening, thank you for hanging in for the first week. Make sure you stick around for next week. We got a bunch of guests lined up. Don't want to give it away right now. We'll announce it when it happens. But we are going to be, like I said, in Chattanooga for the TO speech this weekend, so make sure you follow Bills Wire for that. Make sure you check out the site, billswire.usatoday.com. Nick, as well as the rest of the team, writing articles daily to keep you guys informed on the team. And make sure you subscribe to this podcast. We are all over the place, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your shows, make sure you hit subscribe. So thanks for joining us for the first week. We'll catch you all again on Monday. And Nick, again, appreciate it, bud. Talk to you soon.
Sounds good. See you next week, everyone.